I want to welcome everyone here this morning, everyone who's with us online. I also want to thank you for being here on this holiday weekend. I'm excited that somebody's here on a holiday weekend, the last one that's considered a holiday weekend prior to getting into Thanksgiving and Christmas. I know a lot of people like to get out, get that last moment in with the kids before things really get crazy with them and sports and all that's going on right now. I'm going to ask you to do something because of where I'm going today, and as I am ending this series, I think I am, it may extend. I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to pray because I believe it's very, very important that everyone hear what I'm about to say today, because it's a core value of this church, and God is speaking that we have got to reconnect fully with one of our core values here at North Elevation Church, and it's within this message today in what God wants us to understand about rebuilding the spiritual walls of this nation. If you've been paying attention over the past 2 weeks, it should be very clear to you that this nation needs its spiritual walls rebuilt. If we're going to secure our borders, it's going to take the church doing what it's been what we're called to do and our responsibility in building, rebuilding the spiritual walls of this nation. Father, as we come to you right now, I thank you, Lord, as Chris has already identified, that your presence is here. You are here, and you're here to be heard. And so, Father, we just bind every distraction right now in Jesus' name. And I declare that we have ears to hear and a heart and a mind to respond to what we hear. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated. It's been a couple of weeks. Let me do a very quick review. I was going to teach through the first 3 to 4 chapters of Nehemiah, take them a chapter at a time, move all the way through them. Nehemiah is a powerful book. It's one that I encourage every Christian to study. I used to do a Bible class when we had a Bible school at the church I came from, in which I directed. I had a 26-week course on Nehemiah, and that still wasn't enough time. 26 hours, and I still didn't get through it all. There's so much in Nehemiah. But the Lord called an audible. The Holy Spirit said that God is calling an audible on what you have prepared. God has some things on his heart that he wants his church to understand about rebuilding the spiritual walls of this nation, and that Nehemiah will become a backdrop to it, and that you're going to go in a different direction because the Father... Listen to this. The Father has a desire for this nation to be what it's supposed to be. And he needs his church to stand up and be the church. And do what we need to do. So on the top of the priority list was, and still is, that we understand as the church, it is our responsibility to build the spiritual walls of this nation. And right now they need to be rebuilt. That's our responsibility. The church. Church is not a building. Did you know this building is no more than a tool? You're the church. I'm the church. That's the top of the priority, is that we have to accept our responsibility to rebuild the spiritual walls of this nation. Now, the first thing he wanted us to understand, key point number one, was it's going to start with and continue with repentance. And where's the repentance start? With us. Repentance starts with us, and we stop making excuses, and we repent that we're not living by the book and watering it down to do what we want to do. We have to repent. Then, as a church, we need to repent for this nation, in behalf of this nation. A part of that first key point was also that we have got to earnestly pray. We read where Nehemiah learns of the condition of Jerusalem, says that he immediately sat down and mourned and prayed day and night. I have a question. You've heard me ask this question before. When was the last time you got up in the middle of the night and prayed for this nation? Earnestly praying for the spiritual walls of this nation to be rebuilt. And the third part of that first key was to walk humbly before the Lord, and in parentheses, fasting. The second key point that he wanted us to understand about rebuilding the spiritual walls of this nation was that we are to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ and quit being silent. And we need to speak this truth and live this truth. All of us. That is the call to the church. To speak the truth, live the truth, defend the truth. Quit being silent. That's our call. That's a part of rebuilding the spiritual walls of this nation. Part of the reason why the walls are so weak, the spiritual walls, is because the church doesn't defend the gospel, the truth. And it's not speaking it and not living it. And then the third that we covered last time was distractions. And the main distraction that I covered was what? Fleshly desires. Desire for me first, kingdom second. Fleshly desires. It's the number one distraction in the church. It is. Fleshly desires. I talk to pastors all over. They see it. They have people come to them. Church people have a hard time not being distracted when they're hearing something that is very important to God that they hear. Because they're thinking of all these other things. They're distracted. And so much of it's just fleshly desire, because that's what I want. That's what I want to do. It's my time. I'm going to do it and live it the way I want to in this space of time, even inside the church. I told you the testimony of my mom, who didn't serve God, never came to the accepting Jesus as her Lord and Savior, used to say this to me. And I hear it now from church people. Folks, you need to hear what I'm saying. I'm not making this stuff up. My mother used to say, I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. I hear that from church people. I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it, and God's just going to have to get used to that. That's got to change if we're going to rebuild the spiritual walls of this nation. Distractions. Now, let me drill down before I pour the runway to where we're going to land this morning. We're going to land someplace that is going to be totally unexpected. Something God wants us to understand, something that we need to reconnect with as one of the core values of this ministry. And the whole purpose, one of the main purposes that God had us plant this church 12 years ago this month. We're coming up on our 12th anniversary at the end of the month. 12 years ago. I'm going to drill down in this. The church has got to quit criticizing each other and leaders. If you know better, then you need to step up and become one of those people. We have to change the way we speak about one another. That's part of what's tearing down the spiritual walls of this nation. We have got to be people who care about each other. And that we respect each other. God did not call you and anoint you to be the church's critic. He calls us to love each other. That was all free. Now let me drill a little bit deeper. A.T. Pearson said this, there has never been a spiritual awakening in any country or locality that did not begin in united prayer. I like to say unified prayer. We've got to love each other, not be critical, if we're going to see the nation turn around. It takes unified prayer. It takes all of us repenting. All of us standing in repentance for the nation. All of us earnestly praying, maybe getting up in the middle of the night. It takes all of us to walk humbly before God. If we're going to see things turn around. Let me begin to pour the runway to where we're going. Nehemiah had neighboring provinces. There was four of them that had joined in a coalition against the building of the wall. Now, he's facing opposition to building the wall. We touched on some of that in parts 1 through 3. He's facing opposition. Their weapon of choice is what I call Cold War tactics. The war of words and threats. The war of words and threats. And Nehemiah faced them. Not only externally, he started facing them internally. And things slowed down on building the wall when it became internal. Because the church has got to quit listening to the threats and the war of words. And we need to land on trusting the Word of God. The war of words. Let me give you a really simple example. You come into a room and you sit down on the other side of the room. Somebody walks in the far door, comes down and sits on the other side of the room, and you recognize them, and that's a person that you have had conflict with. Or it's just they don't agree with where you come from, and they've decided to be your critic. All of a sudden, they're an authority on everything. Can I give you all a free thing? When we get to heaven, we're all going to be shocked that we were off a lot. They're on the other side of the room. They look your direction. And the war of words begin immediately. They're looking at me. They're probably saying, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Truth is, they didn't like what was said at the table, and they're staring off into space. Are you with me? The war of words. There is the war of the words spoken and the war of the words unspoken. See, what the enemy was doing at that time, they were making proclamations of what they were going to do that they didn't do. They were spilling out threats. They were making fun of Nehemiah, making fun of the people. And being that I know people because I'm a people, they start entertaining all kinds of negative words that were not spoken. I'm not going to re-preach my negativity message, but you got to stop being negative. I'm going to give you proof on it here in a little bit. Why? The weapons of the enemy, spoken and unspoken, are to do this. This is what the weapon of the enemy wants to do, is to bring discouragement, to bring doubt. Study the story of Nehemiah, and I'm talking about all the things that Nehemiah faced. Discouragement, doubt, confusion, disunity. Nothing breaks the father's heart more than when someone walks out and says, you know what, they're just off, I know better. And then they start spilling it out off on others to try to get them to follow them. Disunity. God's not with that. Should have got 100 amens out of that. God is not with that. Distractions, we talked about last week. The war of words, heard and unheard. People don't hear. And fear. I'm already seeing we're going to have a part 5. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's be reminded of what Paul said. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Verse 12, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. Pastor, I don't believe that. You haven't seen my enemy. They're 4 foot tall, redheaded, and got freckles on them, and you ought to see the look on their face. Listen, we are looking at people too much. We are looking at groups too much. We're looking at issues too much. We're so focused on a person, we're missing that we're dealing with a spiritual battle. Yeah, For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Paul is reminding us that our fight, some may call it a struggle, is not merely against flesh and blood. It's spiritual. We're fighting a spiritual battle. Yeah, but all those people up there, no, I'm not looking at the people. I want to identify what's behind it, driving it, so I can do warfare against it and stop it. Pen truth. You already know what pen truths are from me. The church must stand firm against the strategies of the deceiver Satan and stand and not move. What are the strategies to discourage you? To cause you to doubt, to cause confusion, to cause disunity, distractions, negativity. I can go on and on and on and on. We've got to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. Here's how we get past that and try to tell ourselves, I don't need to deal with anything. We justify it. And that's not going to help us rebuild the spiritual walls of the nation. Nehemiah remained confident in the face of all of this. And he trusted God's hand to move. He was not going to let the enemy's strategies keep him from the call, are we? He's not going to let the enemy do that. He did not give up, even when he faced opposition from within. Let's just be real honest. It's one thing when you're fighting battles out there, but then when you got to start fighting them at home, it's tough, right? We have to stand firm and trust God. Because if I'm obeying God, He will move in my behalf. He will move in my behalf. I love... Oh, let me... I got to go here. I just have to. Chris said it this morning. Matter of fact, he said a lot of things I'm going to say this morning. He needs to stay out of my prayer room. We have got to stop saying, I am alone. I'm the only one fighting this battle. I'm the only one going through this. Nobody else goes through what I go through. I'm just a special person who only one goes through this. And I'm all alone. Stop it. You are never alone. Never. See, that's negativity. You're never, ever alone. Say it. I am never, ever alone. God is always with you. Always. Always. A personal insight. The church that the world loves is the one that does not care about rebuilding the spiritual walls. The church the world likes is a distracted church that's caught up in themselves and their own thing instead of God's things. Here's how I live my life. How do I melt my desires? You have desires, don't you? God's word says He'll give you the fulfillment of your desires, correct? Here's what I do. God, how do I melt those desires to your desires and fulfill my destiny in the kingdom? The moment we think that following God's desires and His will and His call in the kingdom is going to draw me away from what I want, we detach. Wrong move. You may get it, but it won't be satisfying. I promise you. But when you stay with God and you get it, it's amazing. You have to stay connected. You got to stay connected to the call. What's the call to the church? The call to the church is we got to rebuild the spiritual walls of this nation. It's our responsibility. You want the right people in office? Rebuild the spiritual walls of this nation. That was free also. Now, let's move towards the fourth key point of what God wants us to understand. We're going to land someplace not expected because it's a place that will defeat the plans of the enemy and keep you focused on the call. In Nehemiah chapter 4, we're going to read a verse script, two verse scripture we've already read before. Now, when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged. I want to greatly enrage the enemy. Oh, I don't want to make him mad. What? Do you want the spiritual walls of this nation rebuilt or not? He's going to get upset. The church woke up. That's fear. Don't ever say around me, well, I don't do anything to upset the devil. You're a Christian. He's already upset. Go on. Do what God said. God will go before you. He is your rear guard. He will never leave you or forsake you. He is for you, and you will overcome. And he said, and he jeered the Jews. Now Sanballat went on, and he said, in the presence of the brothers and of the army of Samaria. He is saying this in front of the presence of this great group of people. And all the Jews are seeing this. They're all hearing this. And he says, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burnt ones at that? Is that sarcasm, smart aleck? You bunch of idiots, what do you think you're doing? People don't listen to Nehemiah. He's stupid. Don't you see this vast coalition against you? What are you, a bunch of idiots? You'd be better off just stay in your homes. Don't upset us. Leave the walls the way they are. And then while you're sleeping, we'll come in and devour you. Hello? The fourth key that God wants us to understand. We have a common enemy. Not different enemies. And he can be defeated. I'm going to say it again. Your enemy is my enemy. My enemy is your enemy. You don't have a different enemy. That's another thing that I've been seeing circling around. Is, oh no, we all got different enemies. My enemy is not your enemy. My enemy is different than yours. So your message just doesn't fit with where I'm at because my enemies are different. No, you have one enemy and he's the same. And we're all fighting that enemy. Your enemy is my enemy. My enemy is your enemy. We have one common enemy. He's the deceiver, Satan. Period. And when the church joins together and grabs hold of our call, then we can defeat the enemy. Amen. Have you noticed when you rebuild something, your personal spiritual walls, your family spiritual walls, maybe you're called to rebuild the spiritual walls in the company you're in, you've noticed at one point it was one way, now it's another way. Have you ever noticed that when you start doing that, there's a war of words? Sometimes spoken, sometimes not. And here's the bad part, and where we trip up the most, is we move to obey God, and one little thing happens, negative, and the war of words start. And we're ready to give up. Well, don't want to press the envelope. It could get worse. That's exactly what the enemy wants us to do. And we never finish what we're called to do, rebuild the spiritual walls of the nation. As a rattlesnake rattles and a cat hisses, these war of words are meant to do one thing, get you to stop and turn around and not fulfill the call to rebuild the spiritual walls of this nation. Did you know some of the things that we take personal is not really personal? It's an attack to keep you from helping this nation. It is an attack against the church. You're the church. When's the last time you stood up and said, you shouldn't have messed with the church? I got four buddies and I'm going to call them. And on the phone, we're going to start doing spiritual warfare. You should not have touched the church. That's good preaching. You should, yeah. He wants us to stop and murmur and complain and gripe and complain and be negative until we do nothing and we become stagnant again. And we don't rebuild the spiritual walls of the nation. We'll make a point. I am aggressively addressing it now, I address it away from here. This movement to find another gospel within the church that's easier. No, what is wanted is a gospel where I am Lord and King and He's not Lord and King. Just as Bentil said this, make it a point to turn your mind and your heart from everything that stands in opposition to your ordained purpose. I'll read it again. Make it a point to turn your mind and your heart from everything that stands in opposition to your ordained purpose. I have to say this again. I shared the story of when James Harris came and brought me that piece of paper. What had to take place in that moment was a decision. The glory of God didn't come down. It didn't follow me into the house, into that bathroom, staring at the mirror. There wasn't lights going off and music and, oh wow, and the presence of God was so strong. No, I came to a moment where I had to make a decision. Would I surrender to the will of God? Would I surrender to the will of God? I had to make a decision that day to do what? To turn my mind and heart from everything that opposed what God had called me to do. I was away from God. I mean, way away. And literally in a nanosecond, my whole world flipped because of one decision. A decision. One decision. The battle rages in our minds 24 hours a day. It rages. We're in constant conflict. If it's not from the media, it's from ourselves or from people around us, the things we hear, the things we face. It rages. Donald Barnhouse called it the invisible war. There's the war of words heard and the war of words not heard. That is why this book, and I'm going to stand on this until everybody gets it, is this your number one read? Have you established a devotional life to protect your mind? And so we can fulfill our destiny to rebuild the spiritual walls of this nation. Revelations 12:11. And this is where we land this morning. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. I want to talk to you about defeating the plots and plans of the enemy. I want to talk about how to defeat discouragement, disunity. I'm fixing to lay into that one big. All the doubt, all the fear. I'm going to talk to you about the power of your testimony. Luke chapter 8, verse 38 says, the man whom Jesus had healed, from whom the demons had gone out, begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, go back home, tell, explain to people how much or what great things God has done for you. So the man went all over town, telling, proclaiming how much or what great things Jesus had done for him. What has God done for you? Nothing lately. What has God done for you? I don't remember. Remember, God has done things for you. Tell somebody what God has done for you. You start telling people what God has done for you, you'll forget about what you were discouraged about. You'll start realizing how good God is. Why am I discouraged? I don't need to be discouraged. He's so good. Harper's Bible Dictionary says that testimony is evidence recalling a particular events or deeds. How much time are we spending recalling what God has done for me? And then saying it out loud so others can hear it. I'm going to drill down on this. Hang on. Penn Truth. Testimony is also defined as an open acknowledgement. Pastor, I spoke all the things God did for me in my prayer room today. Awesome. God's excited. Now go tell somebody else. Open acknowledgement. Let me share with you some striking truths about testimony. Number one, testimonies are a great tool of encouragement. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Here's the core value. Here at NEC, that God spoke very clearly to me and said these words, this church must connect with the core value of why I planted you. Did you hear the word? Why He planted us. It comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. So speak encouraging words to one another. Build up hope so you'll be together in this. No one left out, no one left behind. Brian spoke when he took up the offering a few weeks ago where he said that he's writing down all of the things that he's thankful for. Let me take that another step. Write those things down and then go proclaim them to one another. Are you sharing your testimonies with others before service, after service, when you get together in other deals? Are you sharing testimonies with one another? If we begin to share the testimonies with one another, testimonies birth more testimonies. And before you know it, the church is strengthened. With what? God is faithful. He's a good God. He'll do this. We can do this. Instead of going around telling everybody everything that went wrong. Well, how you doing today? Oh. Do you not have a caring heart? I have a very caring heart. I love you. But I'm trying to share with you how to stop the enemy's attack against you. The Number two, testimonies remind others of what God has done for them. Testimonies remind others of what God has done for them. It's a weapon against the enemies. Share your testimony. You've heard me say, share your Jesus story. Don't have to know the word backwards and forwards. You've got a Jesus story, share it. Share it with one another. As I look around the room right now, as I'm looking around the room, I'm reminded of testimonies in a whole lot of your lives. You know what the church should be doing? We should be reminding others of their own testimonies. When we see they're down, we need to remind them. When they say something negative, we ought to stop them in their tracks and say, hey, don't you remember when God did this? Oh yeah, He did that, didn't He? When was the last time you reminded somebody of a testimony you know that's in their life to encourage them, to build them back up? It's going to take all of us to get this done. I'm telling you, the enemy is relentless in beating us down. And as the church, we're supposed to be doing what? Building each other up. And we do that through testimonies. We need to remind people of God's faithfulness to them. Testimonies spoken to each other brings greater strength to build the spiritual walls and to fight to protect those spiritual walls. Core value in this church is to do what? Encourage one another. Build each other up with hope. So no one is left out, no one's left behind. That's a core value here. So I'm going to have microphones all over the church next Sunday to see if you're all testifying to each other. To win the spiritual battle for this nation, the church has got to start encouraging each other. And when a non-Christian hears testimonies being spoken out loud, it gets their attention. Now, Bible stories are great. I'm taking nothing away. Everybody needs to learn the Bible stories. And we need to be teaching the Bible stories. Colin had a whole group of youth came through at one point where they didn't even know what the Bible stories were, so he just taught them. They thought it was the most wonderful thing. But let me tell you what the world is prone to. They respond to true stories of what God has done. They respond to it. Pen truth, people are more prone to believe real life stories than Bible stories. And I'm talking about the world. Non-Christians. Now, you may share a Bible story somewhere along the way, but a lot of times when you're sharing a Bible story, they're looking at you like a calf in a new gate. They don't even know what you're talking about. Serious. But when I start telling them my testimony of what God did for me, now I've got them. Because it's real-life documentation, and I've got their attention. Then I can wrap it in the Word of God, and I'll say, hey, and it reminds me of this. Testimonies. Number three, testimonies defeat the deceiver's plans and purposes. Pastor Mensa said this, blessings are released when you testify of the goodness of the Lord. Blessings are released when you testify of the goodness of the Lord. Negativity release does not bring goodness or blessings. Well, that makes me feel better. No, it don't. I'm going to say it again. Blessings are released when you testify of the goodness of the Lord. What are you grateful to God for? Share your testimony. Share your testimony. Well, He didn't do this over here. What did He do for you? Focus on that and build your faith back up. What you're saying is you don't have faith that He'll get around to that. I'm telling you, He will in the right time. Don't doubt And don't walk in disbelief. Build yourself up with your own testimonies. Build each other up with testimonies. Listen, we don't need a testimony service. Seriously, we don't. We need a church that's testifying all the time to one another the goodness of God. To the point that, you know, in a little bit of time, everybody knows what's going on. The great things God's doing in your life. Even the small things. The little stuff. Itty bitty stuff. That is huge to God. We just need to start being the church. And build each other up. Testify. See somebody down, remember what God did for them and remind them. Anybody with me? You get the church strong, and the church will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, and we can rebuild the spiritual walls of this country. Spoken testimonies bring God fully into the picture. And that begins destroying the enemy's plans. My final statement to you today, I want you to just listen. It's not going to be on the screen. I just want you to hear. The deceiver works hard to discourage us from our call to rebuild the spiritual walls of this nation. And with words, or the threat of words, Sanballat tried to discourage them from finishing the wall. Are you going to be able to finish that today? Ha ha. How often does that happen? Satan does the same thing. He tries to get us to doubt that it can be done. Decision time. You're either in the camp of Sanballat and Tobiah, or are you with Nehemiah this morning? It's a decision. Where are you going to stand? Where are you going to stand? I can have everybody come to the front and go, oh, wow, everybody's standing. You know what? This is a decision, just like it was for me in that bathroom. This is a moment where you have to make a decision by yourself, with God, right there, and the Holy Spirit saying, you can do this. But you may also be sitting there this morning and realize that you're on the wrong side. You've been on the Sanballat and Tobiah side. I was on the wrong side one time. But guess what? My Heavenly Father has not run off. He is right there to embrace you. You may have been feeling a tug in your heart for some time, and you know, you don't know how you know, but you know that God has been trying to speak to you. And you need to just make the decision to yield and make Jesus the Lord of your life completely. Maybe some of you, it's just an absolute surrender. Maybe you know Jesus, but you haven't fully surrendered this morning. I'm out to see the spiritual walls of this nation rebuilt. And the Holy Spirit, responding to what God was telling him, sharing with me, gave you the tools over these four messages on how to get that done. And we need to get busy doing it. Amen? Would you bow with me? This is a moment of decision. If you say, I'm the person you were talking to that's on the other side of that fence and Jesus isn't the Lord of my life, I'm just asking you right now to just slip your hand up and say, that's me. That's what I thought. But I do know in my heart that their decisions need to be made to fully surrender to Christ. And there's decisions that need to be made in one case to just stop being negative. Stop being used of the enemy to delay things around us. You've heard me say this before, but I got to be the voice of reason. Well, that voice of reason is keeping you from what God wants for you. Today, let's make the decision that I'm fully surrendered And I'm going to start loving my brothers and sisters on every side of me. I'm not going to be self-contained and not get to know anybody. I'm going to start engaging people and share with them what God's done for me. And I'm going to stay long enough to hear what God's done for them. And then we're going to begin to build each other up. And we're going to share our testimonies outside these four walls. I declare that in Jesus' name.